Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sod Show Extra. On the Sod Show Extra, we like extra rain, extra landscape, extra time, extra brine, extra Peter, extraordinary radio, extra special, extravagant, extravaganza of extroverts. This is the Sod Show Extra.
The Sod Show, it'll grow on you. Join gardener Peter Donegan and not-so-green fingers Brian Green, Fridays, 3 p.m, 103.2 Dublin City FM. The Sod Show, Dublin's garden radio show.
Ooh, I made it to the grapevine, and I'm just about to lose my mind, honey, honey, yeah.
The Sod Show, brought to you by Green Sacks, the compostable bags for home and garden.
On the Sod Show, broadcast 20 July 2012, we went to the Flavours of Fingal as they were setting up the show in Newbridge House, Donabate, Fingal, North County Dublin. And on the weekend of the show, the Sod Show took our mobile recorders to the show to get the sounds of the Flavours of Fingal. Here's what happened.
My Flavours of Fingal, I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 cows. What are they?
They're Holstein Friesians.
They're going in for competition.
Yeah, we have one here going in for senior cow. Then we have a heifer and milk beside her. Then we have her daughter beside that one again. Then we have another big calf and 3 months in calf. And she's going into the non-clipped class. And then we have a second calver at the very end going into the second calver class.
What makes one cow better than the other? To somebody like me who would know nothing about them apart from that they all look the same.
Like a big frame size, and if they stand well with each other, and a nice odour on them is good as well. That's really it, kind of.
And does it take a lot of preparation to get them ready for...
Like we've been here since 6:45, and the farmer was up until 2 o'clock last night getting them ready, so there's a lot of work involved in them. Like,
is it a bit like getting a car ready for sale, so to speak, that you polish it and you prep it that way?
Yeah, it'd be like that. We'd be polishing them the whole time, and they'd be all washed in the morning, and they're all washed, like they'd be washed every day for about 2 weeks before the show starts and stuff. Yeah.
They look very placid.
Yeah, they're nice and comfortable there. They've been there. They're well settled in because they've been here since early this morning, so they're all well settled in now.
There's a young wee lad behind me, and he has a rope around the cow's neck almost like you might with a horse, and I assume the judges are doing what they should be doing just there.
Yeah, it's just if it's around the neck and stuff, it's called a halter, and you usually use a rope one for like tying them up against the railing, and then when they're in the class, they'd have a leather halter on then.
What's your own name?
Sean Kennedy.
Are you a young man, Sean?
I'm 15, living there in Castleknock.
Castleknock cows, not really something you'd associate there, is it?
No, it's, anytime I tell like people that I'm working on a farm in Castleknock, they don't believe me, and some people still don't believe me.
Do you go to school in Castleknock?
Yeah, I go to the Castleknock Community College.
So when you kind of have to put your hand up in air and people say, what does your dad do for a living? And one is saying, well, my dad works in such and such a shop, or he's an accountant, or he's a barrister. Yeah. You're kind of going...
A farmer, yeah.
Does that get a few giggles?
Yeah, I get a few weird looks as well.
How do you think the cows will do in show?
They won't do too bad. Like, they won't win big prizes, but they won't do too bad.
The prize for all of the hard work that you've put in is, I'm told, a rosette.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like a lot for the amount of work that goes into it. Is it more pride or...?
Yeah, it's kind of pride, and it's a good day out and stuff. Nice day out.
And what do you think of the Flavours of Fingal show so far, being that it's early days, first day?
Yeah, it's quite good for a first time show, and there's good turnout and stuff, and there's a good audience at it, so it's not too bad for a first time show.
Is it good to see an agricultural show in Dublin for a change?
Yeah, it is, because like, if we're going to any of the shows, we have to drive for a long time to get to the shows and stuff, and it's just a bit easier when it's nice and close to home.
It is indeed. A pleasure talking to you, young man. Thanks. Best of luck.
Right, thanks.
At Flavours of Fingal, and I'm looking at sheep. They're not the normal coloured sheep by any means, are they?
Well, these are Suffolk sheep. They originally came from Suffolk in the UK. they've been in Ireland for hundreds of years now, and they're sort of natural to these islands, so they do particularly well. No, the colour you see on these, we've actually put a little bit of colour on them to make them look a little bit more show friendly.
Yeah.
Make it look better. If they're too white, it looks a bit glary. So we do them up the same as anybody do themselves up going out.
They have a, for those listening to this in audio, they look like a nice rug that you wouldn't mind lying on, and they've got a kind of a browny, pinky colour on one hand, and then the other is almost like a beigey, dark, chocolatey brown. And their heads are jet black, but they seem blacker than normal. Do you do the hair dye thing and the manicure and all of that? That sounds very silly, but for those who have never been to a show before...
No, I mean, it's you may laugh, but I mean, a lot of effort and work goes into turning these out for shows, because during the week they're running in the fields the same as any other animal you see in the field, and then we take them in, they have to be washed, the dirt washed out of the wool. And then we, you know, we card it out, sort of tease it out, and we spray some colour on it. The thing about the Suffolk, that's how they're very distinguishable from any other breed, is that, you know, white wool and jet black heads and legs, and it's an offence actually to darken or tamper with the colour, the black colour of their heads and legs. So the colour of their heads and legs, the blackness, that is natural, and we breed, it would be a breed point. We wouldn't breed sheep with bad colours or things like that. So the black is natural. The wool, we have put a little bit of colour on. And of course, as you say, like a rug, I mean, that's where jumpers and, you know, carpets and things like that come from. It may surprise a lot of people. They just don't come from the shop. It comes from sheep.
I was talking to a young gentleman just there about cows and preparing them for competition. He was explaining to me just how much work went into them. After that, he also explained to me how the judges might look and how one might be a better cow over another. How does it work in the sheep perspective?
Yeah, well, I mean, the main purpose of sheep are, particularly the Suffolk, they're what we call a terminal sire, which means that to produce sheep for meat. So the first quality the judge will look at is good fleshing. The a sheep has good cover of flesh. Obviously, then after that, the finer points come down to the colour of the head, as I said. Correctness on legs, that they're not bow-legged or standing, you know, there should be like a table almost, a leg at each corner. A thing that's sort of hard to describe, and I suppose it's the same in humans, that every eye beholds the beauty, and the same in sheep, you know, you have a certain bit of character and style and presence about them. So they're the finer points that as a judge will look for. Obviously, the quality of the wool as well, you know, you can have open wool, you can have tight closed wool. The tighter the fleece, the more flesh, and the better the quality is. So they're just roughly some of the things a judge will look for, and the differences between them.
Based on what you've just said, I would be probably seeing that there may be disagreements with the judges. I might want to call him rude names sometimes when he picked out what I believed maybe is a better looking one that he didn't.
Yeah, judges sometimes can be compared to bankers. But, you know, everybody likes to win, I suppose, and with the effort that comes in, goes into preparing stock, whether it be sheep or cattle, you know, nobody's coming to lose. Everybody likes to think to win. But in all honesty, as far as I'm concerned, and most people, once the best animal wins, you know, nobody can complain too much. But the standard is really high in all these events. So, you know, the difference between, you know, the first prize winner and maybe one, third or fourth down the line can be quite small, and can just come down to a judge's own personal preference and what he's looking for. And there are often disagreements, but at the end of the day, you know, I mean, it's not all about showing, but you have to be prepared to take the rough, the smooth. Some days everything will go well for you. Other days your ducks will drown themselves. It's just a fact of life.
The 2 weeks of preparation was what was suggested to me in the cow department, and it all came down to the grand prize of a rosette. It's the same for a sheep, but it's a little bit more than a rosette, I'm gathering.
Well, you know, it comes down to rosette, but at the same time, I suppose one of the main reasons you show is you're advertising your stock, and there are potential customers, you know, coming in to see your sheep and associate your name with good stock, and then when they need to buy something, they will come and buy from you. So there's a certain element of that, and if you're doing it just for the prize money and for the the rosette, you know, it wouldn't justify the thing. But having said that, you know, Flavours of Fingal, it's a tremendous idea, and hopefully it'll take off, and you know, it'll run again next year and years to come. And you know, from my personally speaking, I'm here to support it. You know, if people don't come out with the stock and support it, you know, the organisers have all their work for nothing, which would be unfair. And it's a tremendous venue. We're very lucky the weather, and you know, I would hope that it will be well supported, and the people will come and see what they like to see. And it's good to see good stock, you know, in the matter and wherever you're at, you know.
Are you a Dublin-based farmer yourself?
No, from Castle Bellingham in County Louth. So it's not too far away. It's only 40 minutes down the motorway. But weather, which, you know, I've often gone further for less.
That's true. What's your own name, by the way?
Philip Lynch is my name.
Philip, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Music at the Flavours of Fingal Festival was provided by the Seamus Enna Centre in Nall, North County Dublin. And on stage, we caught sounds from the Bonnie Men. You can catch them at thebonniemen.ie. Thank you.
I'm talking to?
Donna Callan.
Donna, you look very happy.
Oh, well, I am very happy. Growing vegetables does do that to you.
Why are you in North County Dublin today?
Well, we are here to publicise the Santry Community Garden, and I'm the chairperson of that. We have a 4.5-acre site, which is in the walled garden of Santry Domain, which is behind Morton Stadium in Santry.
Most people wouldn't be aware that there's a walled garden behind Morton Stadium.
No, they wouldn't. We're tucked away right at the back of the park. So we thought we'd come along today and just let people know where we are, hopefully generate some visitors and interest in the garden, and maybe even get a few new members.
I see vegetables, I see flowers. Do you do a bit of both?
Oh, we do. At the moment, it's mainly vegetables, but we will this year and next year. We've got the gardens in three sections. The first section we want to turn into a garden, a sort of an ornamental section. Our middle section is already planted with 150 heritage orchard trees. So we have our orchard. And the back section is our kitchen garden, and that's where we are growing, as you can see here, all our onions, cabbages, garlic. We have a herb garden, strawberries, raspberries. We've got everything.
You are one of the most infectiously enthusiastic people I have ever met, with the greatest smile. For no other reason, I would like to go and visit you just to see that.
Well, thank you very much, and you'd be very welcome. We're always looking. We really welcome visitors into the garden.
So how do people get involved, or what type of people get involved with you? Because I've got a picture in my head of an allotment crossed with something that's mildly 18th century.
Well, the thing is, we're not an allotment because it is a historic site, and it's been laid out as a traditional walled garden. We can't separate plots into sort of little individual plots. So everybody comes together. There's a small membership fee, which, you know, €10 for concessions, €20 for a year. For that, people get all of their tools, all of the produce and the seeds are bought for them. We've got fantastic trained gardeners on site, and we all garden together. We turn up at our opening times, and people will say, right, this today we're planting up some potatoes, we've got to weed such and such bed, we've got to do A, B and C, and then we all literally dig in together and work the plot together.
Are there ever arguments between the gardeners? Do they fight?
Yes, sometimes they do, because you get two gardeners in a room, you get three gardeners in a room, they all have their own idea of the best way to grow things. But that's why we have a head gardener, and then we've got another couple of good gardeners who, you know, the committee, we will sit down and say, look, this is how we think we're going to do this year. But yes, there are sometimes some rather heated debates.
I often describe gardeners like supermodels on a catwalk. Is that probably a little bit after, a bit too much?
I don't think they're all wonderful people, but I wouldn't call them supermodels. Yeah.
What's been the nicest story to come out of your garden?
Well, I suppose the other thing about it is it's a community garden. So I think one of the most important things is that the community around Santry, local people, the plot is something that they'd seen locked up and sort of nobody'd used it for years, overgrown. Nobody could get into it. And what's wonderful is actually bringing people back to it. And people are coming in saying, oh, I used to rob the orchard there when I was a kid. And we even had, there was a lady who was born in the garden. Her dad was the head gardener. She's now sort of 90 odd. And she came back when we opened the garden, and she said, it's just so wonderful to see it being brought back to life, how it was when I was a child. And her great grandchild actually planted the very first plant in our garden.
Isn't that a nice story?
Yeah.
There's something about gardens and trees. I was listening to a podcast recently, and it was based on people leaving a legacy. And
yes,
I think that is one that I would like to be able to show, I suppose, my or her. I can picture this girl saying, my grandmother and showing her grandkids.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, we are, it's very much that there's a community aspect to our garden. The most important part of any gardening session is the cup of tea in the middle of it all. We're building a social area at the moment. And, you know, we get so many different members, all ages, people who are retired, you know, some people who aren't working at the moment, architects, you know, photographers, students, and we all come together. Nobody really knows that much about each other, but we all garden together, get to know each other, and that, I must say, for me, that's the most important part of the garden.
How do you split the results, the fruits of your labour, so to speak?
Well, it's very simple. Whoever comes to the garden that day, we harvest what's ready, lay it all out on a big table, and then whoever's been working can help themselves to the produce that day.
I've got a funny feeling that when it comes to the planting day, you're going to have 3 people, and when it comes to the fruit picking day, you're going to have 40 people.
That does happen sometimes, especially with our strawberries. There's a lot of one for me, one for the pot. But no, it actually really works. People don't they sort of go with the spirit of it. Like when people come along, they bring a bag, take a few, like at the moment, you know, potatoes, maybe some rhubarb, cut a few sprigs of rosemary, you know, so that's what people do. And generally, if you're in the garden twice a week, you can gather vegetables twice a week, and if you're here once a month, you can do it then. So it's actually quite a fair way.
I've got something in my ear that the people listen to this on radio, and they're saying €10, €20 for a year. If they've 200, 150 people, it hardly pays the bills, including your tools and your seeds. Where does the money come from to fund all of this?
Well, a lot of it is just, like, we all give our labour completely free. We do it on a shoestring. I want this to be completely sustainable. We're going 2 years. Now, obviously, we have had funding from the Community Foundation. They've very kindly given us money for a polytunnel. Fingal County Council have been helping us with irrigation and getting water into the garden. So things like that, you know, yes. Yes, we do need help with. But what I would like to see is that in 5 years' time, we are completely sustainable, that we can actually go along just with memberships, just to buy seeds and maybe replace a few tools.
If people want to find out a little bit more, come down and see you, have a cup of tea, maybe get involved, how do they go about that?
Well, we have a website, santrycommunitygarden.ie. People can contact us on Gmail, santrycommunitygarden@gmail.com. And otherwise, come to the garden when it's open. You know, we're open for Heritage Week this year, which runs from the 18th to the 26th of August. So the garden will be open most days then, and people are welcome to come in, have a look round and find out a bit more about us.
You're an absolutely lovely lady. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the interest in the garden.
So I'm talking to Peter from Kildare Animal Wildlife Foundation. Peter, why is Kildare in Fingal? No offence. And welcome.
Thank you. No, we're based in Kildare. There were a cat and dog home, like, but we set up a wildlife unit this year. And wildlife we do throughout the country. So we have the Pine Marten kids there came from Mayo. The fox cubs came from a garden in Dublin. The Dublin SPCA and lots of others drop wildlife to us. So we're nationwide.
If I was to ask you, walking up the elevator in a supermarket, you've that length of time to explain to me what you do. Summarise that for me if you can.
Yeah, sick and injured animals or orphaned wildlife, we would take them in, fix them up or rehabilitate them, and so they can be released back to the wild is the aim.
So you don't do, silly question, but you don't do cats and dogs kind of thing?
Not in the wildlife unit, but cats and dogs are in the Kildare Animal Foundation as well. There's a separate unit there for the cats and dogs. So,
what's been the reception, I suppose, when you come to an event like this? And I think it's fair to say there is a bit of interest and intrigue. It got me to come and talk to you. What's the response from general Joe public?
Oh, it's very positive, because people often find an injured hedgehog in their garden. They don't know what to do with it, and vets often don't want to know. So they can come to us and we would rehabilitate and bring it back to where it was found, and as often as we can, you know.
I had a client and also a friend, two separate queries from them about 3-4 weeks ago, and it was to do with foxes being found in, I suppose you might say, suburbia, 5 miles outside of Dublin city centre, but there was a plethora of foxes being reported to me, and queries of what they should do. What does one do in that scenario?
What kind of foxes were they? Were they injured or were they young? Or
no, just foxes.
Foxes are living amongst us all the time, you know. People just didn't notice, you know, but they've always been there, you know. They're moving more and more into the city, though, you know. Maybe down to people would leave them food around or take away things, that kind of thing, you know. So if you don't want them around, just be a bit tidier and they won't come to you.
I won't tell my sister you said that. It's not my sister, I'm only joking.
Very good, very good.
If people want to find out more about you, how should they best go do that?
Yeah, they can find us on Facebook, Kildare Animal Foundation Wildlife Unit, have a Facebook page, and you can follow stories of the various animals from being bought in to the being released, you know, we aim to do that. So, and we're also on www.animalfoundation.ie, and we're based in Kildare, we're open to the public between 2 and 4, 7 days a week.
So people want to drop in, they can...
Yeah, I mean, some of the rarer wildlife, like the pine martens, wouldn't be open for public viewing, like, but, you know, you can see plenty there anyway if you come down or whatever. Anyone's welcome, anytime.
Excellent. Peter, thank you so much for your time.
No problem, thank you.
I was going to pop in and say 103.2 Dublin City FM, but it's the Sod Show Extra, so it's not on FM, VHF, radio transmitters. We don't need them. We're here on the podcast thingamajigs worldwide. It's the Sod Show Extra, which is can be any length at all. It's actually 26 minutes, 49 seconds, 55 seconds, whatever. It's about the length of a Sod Show on the radio, but that's just coincidental. Wonderful sounds from Newbridge House, Donabate, North County Dublin. Our thanks to Fingal County Council and the County Enterprise Board, who are the spark and the idea behind the Flavours of Fingal Festival. Our thanks to Nolan McHugh, who was on the Sod Show proper on the radio there on the 20th of July. So, until next year at the Flavours of Fingal, but coming soon your way on the radio is another Sod Show, because they come around every Friday at 3 p.m. and you can tune in then. It's Work for the Garden in August. We are touching August. We are a weekend close to August, so we have to do our work for August. And I just can't believe the year is going by so fast. And notwithstanding the hot temperatures we've just had, and I hope that Peter will be covering that it's still been damp and soggy July on top of a damp and soggy June. And, well, you know what the weather's been like. It just has not been good. Our thanks to our sponsors on the Sod Show, and they are greensex.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. What you should do is maybe go to their website and see what they've got for your garden and for your brown bin and for composting, and maybe next time you're in the hardware or in your local shop and they have some in stock, you might pick some up. Catch you on the extra sometime soon. Oh yeah, and thanks to Peter for those wonderful recordings from Donabate. Take care, bye bye.
Eaty, 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 be good.